Welcome to the podcast. I'm Sharon from Listen to This with Cliff and Sharon, and we want to share some great stories with you.
That's right. They could be funny, they could be emotional, they could be touching, they could be absolutely crazy. All of them, great stories that we're happy to share with you right now.
The following program contains language and situations which may be offensive to some people. Everything, however, was taken directly off the air.
It's go time.
Listen to this.
With Cliff and Sharon.
Now or never. Here it comes.
Number five.
Gimmicks and novelties work. They get our attention and they get us into the places that those brands want us to go. For instance, a French beer company is set to open up a pop-up bar in London staffed entirely by dogs.
Woo. Who let the dogs out?
Oh, this is just crazy, isn't it? There is a bar. It's the Cronenberg 1664's Bar d'Alsatian.
Sure.
It will open this week and feature Alsatians, also known as German Shepherds.
Let's just call them German Shepherds.
Let's just call them Alsatians. Yeah. Sounds so much more vicious, doesn't it?
It does.
It really does.
Exotic, really.
Alsatian.
They're German
Alsatian.
Shepherds.
They're going to be serving the company's beers to customers. And the spokesperson said, you know, we are absolutely delighted. Well, this is in England, so let's do it again. We're absolutely delighted to be opening the doors on the world's first bar staffed by dogs. It will provide customers with a truly unique experience. And it's the ideal way for us to bring the Alsatians to Cronenberg fans.
Well, let's face it, it's a bar. How many times have you been at a bar where you've got to keep a dog off your leg?
Well, as a female, it happens way more often
exactly.
than you've got any idea of. Oh, my God.
This is no big deal.
Let the dogs out!
Listen
to this. With Cliff and Sharon, making you sound more interesting at the dinner table.
Number four.
Here's proof that you can absolutely turn your life around. This guy in Tennessee named Mario Martinez lost his house about 6 years ago, and that's about the time that so many people got in trouble with all that mortgage fraud and
extending on mortgages kind of thing.
Balloon payments, yep.
Ugh.
So he's been homeless since then. He's been living in this tiny trailer with his dogs, doesn't have heat or running water. And now there's a newspaper in Nashville called The Contributor that focuses on homeless and the homeless community. And the homeless people sell that on the street as a way to make some money.
Yeah, right? A lot of cities have this. I know in Melbourne, my hometown, they have that. And so I always, like, there's nothing ever really in it that I want to read, but I always buy it because it's a way of supporting homeless people. So this guy, Mario, started selling them about 5 years ago. So he's become homeless, start selling these things, saved every penny he could. And then he used that money to start a business mowing lawns, and then he saved all of that money. And then he used it just now to put a down payment on another house.
Isn't that incredible?
How good is this? It's about 2,500 square feet. It's on about 3 acres of land, about 40 miles out of Nashville. And so it's a decent size house on a nice block of land. This guy was selling papers a while back. He met a realtor named Brian on the street. And Brian was so inspired by him that he actually helped him qualify for a home loan. And now Mario has moved into this brand new house. But it is incredible. I mean, how down you can be and how devastating it must be to find yourself homeless and then just to have that sort of determination, pull yourself up by your bootstraps and have another crack at it.
Well, to save the amount of money on, you know, selling newspapers and cutting lawns.
I mean, that's
to put together
not a lot
a down
of,
payment.
Yeah.
Absolutely fantastic. What a great story.
Listen to this.
With Cliff and Sharon. For more, like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.
Number three.
Here's a question for you. What do you call someone who lives in a place called Hattiesburg, Mississippi? Hattiesburg, Mississippi.
Hattiesburg.
What would you call them to shorten it? You know, like you're a Texan or fill in the blank here. But what do you call somebody from Hattiesburg, Mississippi?
I don't know. Well, this has been the discussion, a debate over a number of years. Residents there, they're trying to figure out what do we call ourselves. So recently, the city's tourism office put together a bit of a committee to take recommendations from the public, people who live there. Hey, what do you think? What do we need to nail this down? We've been without a title as a people for too long. Mm-hmm. So Hattiesburg is actually known as the hub city. So the mayor thought that people should be called Hubcitians.
No, that's terrible.
That's just stupid, isn't it?
Yeah.
Hubcitians. Some other people say who lived there a long time said the city should have stuck with the name that's been used for a long time, which is if you're there, if you're from Hattiesburg, then you're a Hattiesburgan. Hattiesburgan.
See, I would have gone with Hattiesburgian.
Hattiesburgian. Of course you would. You just overcomplicate it, right?
I know.
Well, finally, in the end, it was agreed and decided and put down in writing in the minutes of the meeting that a person from Hattiesburg, Mississippi, would be called, drum roll please, a Hattiesburger. A Hattiesburger.
Actually, you know what? That's the best choice. Hattiesburger works.
A Hattiesburger, all right.
I'm a Hattiesburger.
A Hattiesburger. Now, did you want fries or coleslaw with that, right?
I mean, like that.
I mean, it's just crazy. I mean, I would think, honestly, if you live in, no disrespect, but Hattiesburg, Mississippi, unfortunate, might be another name to call you, but that's just
well,
me.
Know, that name's not even bad. I mean, think of some of the other towns that are actually legitimate names around the world. There's Elephant's Butt. It's actually Butte, but everybody calls it Butt. Elephant's Butt, New Mexico.
Right.
There is Wet Wang, Yorkshire in England. Wet Wang.
So are you a Wet Wanger if you're from there?
Oh, Wet Wanger. That works. Okay. This is my favorite. There's a place in North Carolina called Horny Town.
Oh. So if you're from there, are you just called Horny?
Right. No. All right. Well, one more.
What happens on
Arkansas.
A full moon?
Arkansas, a small place called Bald Knob.
Oh.
Are you a Bald Knobian? I mean.
Or are you just a knob? I mean, I don't know. Thank goodness we don't live in any of those places. Right? Of course, in Hollywood, the people are just called narcissists.
Listen to this.
With Cliff and Sharon. All these stories are true. Even the names haven't been changed.
Number two.
I don't hear stories like this very often anymore, but I was having this conversation with my wife the other day, and we were talking about the old days when we used to work, and more inappropriate things would happen in the workplace than they do today, because the HR department is so omnipresent, and maybe we've learned our lesson. Has that ever happened to you?
Oh, it's funny you say that, because last week, I can't believe I'm even going to say this, last week, someone that we work with told me that he had a dream about me, and then he winked and walked away. And so I've been wondering, and I want to say, it was just kind of a little bit creepy, a little bit,
yeah.
Like it was a little bit leery, and I was like, what? And I didn't want to say what you, no, I'm not saying on the air.
Oh, come on.
No, I'm not saying.
Just a first name.
No, no.
Oh, how about
no.
An initial?
No, they're probably listening. No, I'm not saying. I will say.
Male or female?
Male.
Okay.
Someone in sales.
Bald?
I'm not saying, I'm not doing any more. All I'm saying is it was someone in the sales department.
Gray hair.
Winked. Stop it. Stop it.
Okay.
But just winked, you know, said I had a dream about you and winked. And I was like, whoa. Yeah.
Can't do that stuff.
Well, I don't know. I want to ask Siri what she thinks because she's, right. You know, a woman of the world and of today and everything. So, okay, here, I'm just going to ask her what it means. Should I mean, maybe, and I've been minorly obsessing over it. So, and maybe I should just let it go. So from that point of view, Siri, a co-worker told me that he had a dream about me and then he winked. What does that mean?
Oh, wowzers. That is such an uncomfortable thing for someone to say, especially in the workplace.
Right?
It is never your hot co-worker who says it to you. It is always the super sweaty, gross guy who does it. I especially love it when a guy says something creepy and then wants to make sure that you know how creepy it actually was by adding a creepy wink.
Right.
That
yes.
Gives me the shivers. Yeah. The only thing that is creepier than the wink is the double finger gun point.
Oh.
Never, ever, ever, ever do that.
Oh, the okay, double finger gun point.
So let me ask you then, was it the super sweaty gross guy?
Oh, I'm not saying who it was. I'm not saying, but oh, jeez.
Listen to this with Cliff and Sharon. The other side of the news.
Number one.
Hey, do you feel like you're working too much, like you need more time
yes.
off? That more time off would actually make you more efficient?
Yes.
Yes, huh? Okay, listen. If your boss is in the whole science thing, he'll geek out over this. Take this to him and see if you can get yourself a permanent 4-day weekend.
Oh, How nice would that be? And the science behind this is solid, and you know it is, because it came out of the University of Melbourne in Australia.
Of course, if it comes out of Australia, you know that it's got to be authentic, right?
Listen, I don't want people to judge all Australians and Australia by my bad behaviour. Because truly, there is a lot better in Australia than me. I may not be the best representative for Australia in the United States. I'm just saying.
Good on you.
Don't judge it all by me.
Fair enough.
But actually, the University of Melbourne is a well-respected, you know, one of the best universities in Australia.
It's not an online deal, right? This is a legitimate brick and mortar.
It's a bona fide, very prestigious university in Australia.
Gotcha.
Anyway, these researchers found that our brains can only really function at their peak levels for about 25 hours a week. And after that, the quality of our work declines really quickly. And the drop, in fact, is so bad that if you ever try to pull a crazy 70-hour work week, your brain is basically mush. By the end. I don't think that's the word they used. I just put that in there.
I think probably explains this show, really, when you think about it.
Maybe. There is one catch. The study only included people over 40, so it is possible that us younger people can hang in there a little longer. But still, no matter how old you
are. You're qualifying yourself in the us of the younger people?
Well, I was being generous and including you in it. So I wouldn't go pointing anything out just there. I would just let it go. Good Lord, you had to make an issue of it. But anyway, but it's interesting, isn't it? I don't know how in our job, how we can do, I don't know how we can do a 5-day show in 3 days. That's the only challenge. But for the rest of you, go and talk to your boss about it and tell him there's science to back it up. And good luck. Tell us how you get on.
Listen to this.
With Cliff and Sharon. Subscribe to the podcast on Audioboom, Stitcher, SoundCloud, Pocket Cast, and iTunes. This has been a Bytes.com production.